The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October of 1984.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edmund DeWant, and today we have our regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Well, pleasure to have you here. On his right, from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Pleased as punch to be here.
Very good. On his right, from the School of Education and from Wayne County Community College, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Dad.
On his right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And on Mary Jo's right and my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Happy and proud to be here, Ed.
Very good. Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you submit a question to the program, you will receive a University Ask the Professor bumper sticker. If you submit a question and your question stumps the panel, you will receive the bumper sticker and an autographed photograph of the panel. If your question is used and does not stump the panel, you will receive the bumper sticker and a photographed autograph of the panel.
Send in more than one question, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, don't be cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us 10, dozen.
Yeah.
Don't waste your stamp.
I was going to say, get the most out of your 20 cents.
Right. Exactly.
Or is it 22?
It's going to be.
It's going to be.
It's moving right along.
Maybe it
there.
Is by now.
We'll send them in early.
Yes. When is this?
Yes.
Happy New Year, Ed.
Okay. Our first set of questions begins where we left off last week, with the questions from Mr. Mark Archer of Detroit, Michigan, who was asking you to identify famous quotations or their utterers.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll pick up where we left off. Who said, "I am a member of the rabble in good standing"?
Rousseau.
No.
Was it French?
Nope, it was American 20th century journalist, political commentator.
William Allen White or one of those.
Westbrook Pegler.
Mm. Oh,
remember him?
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
It's hard to believe that.
He batted in a different league than the people we were talking about.
That's true, he did. He did.
He was telling the truth.
Yes, he was rebel. Yes. Scratch a lover and find a foe. Scratch a lover and find a foe.
Leo Buscaglia. Sorry, he never would have said that.
No,
he has no foes.
Yes.
Only joshing Leo.
American female 20th century humorist.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy.
Yes. Yes.
Dix.
No.
Not Dorothy Dix. Oh, Dorothy Parker.
Yes. Shoot first and inquire afterwards, and if you make mistakes, I will protect you.
Bull Connor.
No. Although he probably did say that.
Sounds like the Marshal of Dodge City or whatever.
No, it's not even American. It's German.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Bismarck.
Later than Bismarck.
Later.
Hitler?
It's one of his associates.
One of Hitler's associates?
One of his friends, yes.
Oh,
Goebbels.
No. The other one.
Goering.
Yes.
Hermann.
Yes.
Goering.
Show me a good and gracious loser, and I'll show you a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who said it. It's said at every baseball banquet in America.
Well, it was said by a football coach.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Lombardi. Oh,
Lombardi.
Not Lombardi. This was a famous college football coach.
Knute.
Yes.
Knute Rockne.
Yes. It's nice to know what kind of values are being taught in some schools.
Right.
You know, he just had that fine competitive edge.
Yes, that's one way of describing it. Yes. Don't get mad, get even.
That's on
that Rayburn. Yeah.
Yes.
Sam Rayburn. Domain.
Yeah. Pardon?
Rayburn.
No, but it's...
He said it a lot.
It's an American political figure whose own political career was extremely limited, but whose children have...
Joe Kennedy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I have been poor and I have been rich. Rich is better.
Wallace Pease.
No. Mae West.
No, but as much an institution as Mae West in her own way. A very famous woman singer of the of the 20th century. Most of it.
Lena Horne.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was Mae West.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like
Mae
West.
I've been poor and I've been rich. And rich
believe me,
better.
Rich is better.
Yeah.
Well, Ethel Billie Holiday Herman? Or somebody like that?
No. I don't know how to describe this person.
She big?
Very.
Mae West. Or
Ethel Waters.
No.
No, what's her name?
Ella Fitzgerald.
No. Bob knows.
Kate Smith.
Kate Smith.
He doesn't know.
It's big.
Sophie Tucker.
That's
Sophie big.
Tucker.
That big, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Anyone who goes to a psychiatrist ought to have his head examined.
Groucho Marx.
No, this was a Hollywood personality who is renowned for his mangling of the language and his malapropisms.
Sam Goldwyn.
Yes.
And
yes.
Woody Allen after.
A verbal contract isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Yes.
That's one of his.
Yes. Time is a great legalizer, even in the field of morals.
Well, it's certainly true, but...
American...
Who said it?
Writer, essayist, humorist, publisher, editor.
Surf?
No.
Boy. Of recent?
No, of the 20s and 30s.
Benchley?
No. He's that period, even before
is
that.
Is he New Yorker?
He's, no.
Edmund Wilson.
No.
A humorist, he said.
He said some pretty funny things.
He did. He didn't mean to.
Just didn't mean to.
Yeah, right. They only sound funny.
A man known for his incredibly cynical view of the American public.
Mencken.
Yes.
P.T. Barnum. Mm-hmm.
You know, I do Mencken four times the show, and then I blow it.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Well, you were just inhaling before you had a chance.
Yeah. Everything is funny as long as it happens to somebody else.
Sigmund Freud. On Humor, 1918.
Footnote 32. Auf Deutsch.
Everything is funny as long as it happens to somebody else. American humorist.
Will Ryan.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Life is just one damn thing after another.
Woody Allen.
No. I've been feeling that way lately.
Garfield.
American humorist again?
No, not really. Well, in a sense. Frank O'Malley. Frank Ward O'Malley.
Oh, I don't know.
Who is he?
Oh, he was...
I never heard of him.
Now that he's in the 20s and 30s... Famous remarks are very seldom quoted correctly.
Including this one?
Probably.
This is it, right. Famous.
You will never know.
No.
R. Milhouse
Simeon
Nixon.
Simeon Strunsky.
Oh.
And he said it in the Hamtramck bar on September 9th, 1984.
5, 6, 7, 8. Well, let's see. We had 30. We had 8 out of 30. That's 22. Oh, dear.
Did you check the ones we got right or the ones
we got
wrong?
Well, we got 70% then.
I think you did.
If it's 8 out of 30.
21 would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You
that's
got
right.
it.
You made it. You just
give or
made
take
it.
One.
Yeah. We're C students, but what the heck?
Right. Had we,
doesn't matter.
We didn't even need Simeon Strunsky.
We were fighting for our lives.
Yeah. We thank Mr. Archer. He'll get his autograph and his bumper sticker and send in some more. Those were fun.
Those were good questions.
I wonder where he got them.
I don't know.
Those are nice.
Next set of questions comes from Peter Starkle, age 14, of Bloomfield Township, Michigan.
Oh, it's going to hurt.
You know we won't get these.
That's right.
Yeah.
He says, hello and welcome to 30 very interesting questions on a variety
of
subjects.
If I do say so myself.
Formerly called General Trivia.
Okay, we're good at this. This is our special.
I hope he hasn't taken them from
he
that
he listens
game.
To our show on Bloomfield's own WBFH and WNIC in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the same time.
Two ears.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 27 out of 30 he wants you to get.
Oh.
Yeah, wait a minute. 27.
What's his name again?
We're not trying to get to West
Peter
Point.
Peter Starkle.
All right.
Peter Starkle.
Starkle, we call him.
But wait a second. Where are the answers?
He may have forgotten. We know the answers.
Trust
us.
I see where they are.
Trust us.
We'll get all of them.
You of little faith.
What's at the corner of 42nd and Broadway in New York?
Times Square.
That's right. Which moves faster, frogs or toads?
Under what conditions?
I don't know.
Frogs.
Frogs, correct. Who is Dagwood Bumstead's boss?
Mr. Dithers.
Mr. Dithers, that's right. What is the longest navigable river in the world?
Is it in China?
No, it isn't.
The Nile.
Nope.
No.
The Mississippi.
Nope.
The Amazon.
It's the Amazon. That's right. Okay.
That would be the Amazon, wouldn't it?
But that's the longest navigable.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not the longest river,
no,
right?
That's in China.
That's up the Yangtze.
Would that
or
be in China?
That would be in China. It's called the Yangtze River.
With the new spelling, it's
yes,
hard to pronounce.
Yes, it's a new spelling.
Yes.
Transliterated from there to ours. It becomes white ribbon glowing in the wind.
All so right.
What the translation actually is Amazon East.
What did T.S. stand for in Eliot's name?
Thomas Stearns.
That's right. What grows in a paddy field?
Rice.
That's right. What is
Irish
cartoff?
Potatoes.
Anything that stands there.
Irish potatoes.
Paddy field.
Very good. Very good.
That was Klemanski that said that.
What is...
When his mother said, here comes the paddy wagon, he thought they were delivering rice.
That 12 Irishmen came out, yeah. What is Kartoffel in Hamburg? If you were in Hamburg, Germany,
French
and you
fries.
Ordered Kartoffel.
Kartoffel.
Well, you're close. You're very close.
Kartoffel?
Kartoffel. K-A-R-T-O-F-F-E-L.
Well, we know what the last part means.
Something for
it's
the
It's a question
table.
Of what kind.
Is it some kind of potato prepared in
it
a certain way?
It is just plain...
Potatoes.
Oh. Yes. Okay. Who did Carly Simon allegedly have in mind when she wrote You're So Vain?
Warren Beatty.
Yes. I'm surprised anyone ever published that. I mean, all it does is simply You're So Vain, mm-hmm. You're So Vain, You're So Vain.
I bet you think this song is about you.
You're So Vain. I bet this song. I mean, really, this is incredible. I have students that write essays like this. You know? what Beatles song starts with the word cheese? Not cheese.
Not cheese?
That can be, that can be found in the null set,
well,
as the mathematicians would say.
Well, it could be cheese, or it could be chessy. I'm not certain what he's trying to print here.
Do you know a song?
Cheese or chessy?
Either one. Mm.
Chessy.
No.
Strawberry Fields Forever. No. Does anybody know what it begins with?
Yes.
Chessy.
Well, there's some voiceover. It's not part of the...
I see. Okay.
The words that are sung, but rather just spoken.
Well... Okay. What is the flavor of Hostess Ding Dongs?
Almost none.
Some chemical. I'm
cardboardish
not sure
and chocolate.
Chocolate.
Polysorbate 80.
It's chocolate your basic red dye number two.
Yes, I'll accept all
taste.
Of these.
Yes.
Where did explorer Robert Purley claim he arrived on April 6th, 1909?
The Gates.
You'll have to accept that.
I certainly will.
I wish I had said that.
Yeah.
We're too good at simultaneous.
You could hear it coming. Now, Pearly, huh?
Pearly.
Yes.
Oh, listen, we won that one. On to the next question.
Right. I don't care what the real answer is.
What is it, anyway?
The real answer was the North Pole, but who cares?
No. Perry. Perry.
Well, he's got Pearly here.
We get
Pearly
double credit.
Here.
Double credit.
That's
a correction
Perry.
Gives you an extra point.
But I'm sure glad he wrote Pearly.
His word processor is not working properly. Oh,
blame it on the dot matrix.
Oh, okay.
All right. What fungus is used in making bread?
Yeast.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yuck.
What team did Ted Lindsay, Gordie Howe, and Alex Del Vecchio play together on?
Our team.
The Red Wings.
Yes, okay.
Red Wings.
What was the name of the actor who used the saying, hey, let's be careful out there?
Oh, Conrad.
That's right.
It was on... that police
show.
Hill Street Blues.
Yeah. Who was Ed Sullivan's TV orchestra leader?
Right here in our stage, we have David Rose. No?
No.
I know that. Who was that fellow?
Durati. It was Antoine
Durati. No, it wasn't Antoine Durati. Myron
Florin.
While you're thinking of that, yes, let's take a little break.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October of 1984. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return later this summer with more brand new episodes of Ask the Professor. So send your questions today to atp@udmercy.edu.
Okay, we're back. I still can't get over Pearly Gates. That's... oh, okay.
Well, I don't know who Ed Sullivan's band
is. Nelson Riddle.
No,
Mel Black.
Yeah, it's close.
Mel.
Not Mel.
It's Block not Island.
But
Block
I'll
Island.
I'll accept it. It's Block. It's Ray Block.
Ray Block.
I'll accept that. That's right. What is the only man-made structure visible from space?
The Great Wall of China.
That's right. And our producer has written here, I believe the particle accelerator at Argonne National Labs outside of Chicago may also be visible from space.
Well,
no kidding.
That's what he says.
May.
Check on that, Peter, and let us know.
Yes.
We could ask Jack Lausman.
I think he's going to have a lot of time to answer questions. Right.
Which of the Great Lakes borders Pennsylvania?
Erie.
That's right. What did
That's
God...
what polluted Erie, in fact.
Yes.
The what? Great Lakes?
No, Pennsylvania.
Oh. That's what polluted No, Pennsylvania is what polluted Erie.
That's what I'm saying, yes. What did God call the firmament?
Good.
No, he called it something else.
He created the firmament.
Mariah. Well, that's the wind.
And he gave it a name. He gave it a
Land.
Name.
Land.
No, not the firmament.
Earth.
No. Air.
Terra.
No.
Heaven.
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 I knew I had to get it.
Heaven on earth.
Heaven on earth. What? What colors are used in printing a U.S. dollar bill?
Green
blue.
And white.
No, green.
Yeah, but there's blue,
and blue
and red in there somewhere,
no, there's
but
not
it's
red.
Not visible.
And black.
Black. It's black. Green, blue, and black is the answer he has.
Oh, really? I thought
I've
there
been
was
trying
a red
to use a little purple in there.
In there,
too. It gives it a nice color.
It's Does in the it? Fibers.
Yes. Prettier with no, the purple.
Where
I've
you see
that.
The red, I think, is in the fibers of the paper itself.
That's,
yeah. How many grooves are there in a 4-minute, 45 RPM record?
One on each side.
That's right.
Yep.
That's very good.
That's right.
What?
One on each side.
It's a continuous groove.
One groove.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Spiral. Yes.
Very good, Klimansky.
What was the last film that Marilyn Monroe and Clark Gable appeared in?
The one about horses, Misfits.
That's right.
Misfits, yeah.
And Bee Gees is an abbreviation for what?
Barbara Jean.
The brother.
brother
Gibbs.
That's right. That's right. And to what royal house did Henry VIII belong?
Tudor.
Tudor.
That's right. Not Tudor, which we have written here, but Tudor.
Tudor.
Yes. All right. It was before the Ford.
What car company was named after the founder of Detroit?
Cadillac. Oh.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. How many pages does the Webster's New, as of 1976, Collegiate Dictionary have?
Just as many as it needs.
900?
Not one more.
Right.
Is it around 900?
No, it's more than that. I will accept George's answer.
1,900.
1,064.
No.
1,265.
The answer is 1,536.
I would have been going on for a long time.
But I think George's answer is acceptable.
1,536.
It was a good year.
It was. It was the year Calvin published his Institutes for the first time.
Did that
who
come out
who can
second
forget?
Yeah.
What did Charles Goodyear invent in 1839?
Tires.
Rubber.
No.
Vulcanizing?
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. What
he
Roman
spilled something on a stove or something.
What Roman governor presided over the trial of Christ?
Pontius Pilate.
That's right. Okay.
Well, that was a mixture
them.
Of...
Indeed.
Certainly was. And
those,
you
were
so.
Were good questions.
Those were good questions.
Yeah, come on, John.
By all means, send us some more.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Send some more, Mr. Starkle. He'll receive his his photographed autograph and his bumper sticker. All right. Wear it in good health all around Bloomfield Hills, wherever he comes from there. Isn't that it?
Mm-hmm. Township.
Bloomfield Township, yes. All right.
They haven't incorporated yet.
Our next set of questions comes from Thomas Young of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He says, Dear professors, one of my hobbies is listening to your program when I work on weekends. Another one of my hobbies
you can't
is
make any money doing it.
Or stamp collecting. If somebody in your panel today is a philatelist, these should prove fairly easy. If not, good luck. The questions below deal with worldwide stamp collecting.
Send in the package.
General,
yeah.
You know. He gets everything.
Yeah. Send in
we need to stamp out philately, I think.
Yes.
John.
Well, you want to try some of these.
People have tried,
anyway.
But you can't look at.
Okay. You want to try some of these? Oh, terrible. Oh. Jeez, I recoil at that. What are coil stamps? That's the first question.
They come in round spools.
That's right. If a stamp has Helvetia printed on it, where is it from?
Sweden.
No.
Switzerland.
If a stamp has Magyar Posta written on it,
Hungary.
It's Hungary.
Right.
Has Baja California ever issued its own official stamps?
Undoubtedly.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, the answer
Why
is
would
yes.
they ask?
It had its own Civil War provisionals in 1914 to 1915.
But you couldn't get the letters out or in, so it didn't matter. But yeah, they had stamps. Right.
If stamp has Suomi printed on it, where is it from?
Norway or Sweden?
You're right, part of the world. But yeah.
Finland.
Right. I was going to start humming Finlandia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a good hint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suomia.
What is phantom philately? It's
someone that doesn't want to be seen collecting stamps.
No.
Looking for images that might not be there?
That's a good guess. It's not the right answer, but it's good.
No.
I like it, Merger.
Yeah, I did too.
I accept that.
Yeah, well, it's the study and collection of bogus stamps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there a big market in
bogus
stamps?
I don't know. Why did Europeans once dip mail from the Middle East in vinegar? Oh.
Does that disinfect the plastic?
That's what they're trying to disinfect the mail. That's what it turns out.
Right.
Yes.
You couldn't read anything after that.
When is a stamp or postmark said to be dumb? Stamp or postmark. When is it said to be dumb?
When you can't read it?
Well, that's close.
When it doesn't tell you what you want to know.
That's right. When it does no indication of country or place of origin.
Yeah. Okay.
That is dumb.
Yeah. If a stamp has Sverige printed on it, where is it from?
Sweden.
That's right.
I knew I'd
get
Sweden.
Very good, John.
Third time's the charm.
If you keep saying it, it's bound to be the answer sooner or later.
Okay. Who appeared on the first U.S. stamp?
Washington, probably.
No is the know-it-all.
Benjamin.
Franklin. Yes. Yes. Who was the first woman under the stamp of her own?
Probably Florence Nightingale.
No, American.
Clara Barton.
Let's make this. No, not Clara Barton.
Is it 19th century?
She lived into the 19th century.
Oh, just into the 19th century.
Dolly Madison.
No,
she lived way into the 19th. Yeah. Well, Martha.
That's right.
Martha Washington.
That's right. Who is the only American ever portrayed on his country's stamps during his lifetime? During his lifetime.
Idi Amin.
No, an American.
An American. Well, why wouldn't that be Washington?
You'd think so, but it wasn't. It's Jefferson Davis on the stamps of the Confederacy.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
sure.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. July 4th, 1960, so the first appearance of what? On a U.S. stamp.
A flag?
What kind of flag?
American flag?
Yeah, but
with the 50.
The 50 stars, that's right.
Stars.
20th century presidents have been honored with their own stamps after their deaths. On what date do these memorial stamps appear?
Probably
the 4th of July.
That's right.
Oh.
George is right, the birthday.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. How many stamps have been issued honoring the state of Michigan?
None.
No.
Four.
Nope.
One.
Yes, one.
What was the
one
occasion?
Lousy stamp?
I have no way of knowing.
Hmm.
We deserve better than
two.
That.
Yes. And then to three.
You didn't have to.
Well, we thank Mr. Young.
They weren't as bad as we
thought.
No, those were good questions.
Yeah, they were good questions.
Good question. Most people can't do that about their hobbies.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Send in some more questions. He'll receive his little package of bumper
materials,
sticker and photographed autograph and things like that. And now we go on to our next set of questions from Robert Del Valle of Birmingham, Michigan.
Familiar name?
No. Yes, the name's familiar, yes. I'm thinking of something else. Just when you thought it was safe to assume that Robert Del Valle had run out of questions dealing with autobiographies, below are the titles of 15.
Give him the photo.
They're all from Hollywood. And
he can paper his
Oliver the rooms in his house with those photos.
He wants to know if he can now have a photo of Eileen Ray McCann. The answer is no, of course not.
At least not from us.
Get your own, Del Valle.
That's right. That's right. I mean, what do you take us for, anyway? Yeah. Golly. All right. Who wrote The Seven Pillars of Wisdom? The Seven Pillars of Wisdom.
Confucius.
No. This was a British adventurer of the 20th century. And...
Cecil Rhodes.
No.
20th century.
He was especially active in Arabia.
Lawrence.
T.E.
That's right. Florence of Arabia. Struggles and Triumphs. Who wrote Struggles and Triumphs?
Struggles.
And Triumphs.
And Triumphs. Both?
Yes, the same book. Struggles and Triumphs.
It was the name of her kittens.
Gee, American?
Yes, a showman.
Here we go.
Barnum. Again.
Yes, Barnum. Very good.
P.T. Barnum.
Yes. Who wrote A Part of Life? Or Clinging to the Wreckage, A Part of Life?
Hmm. This is not showbiz again, is it?
No, he's a British author and lawyer who is the creator of the character Rumpole of the Bailey.
Oh, really?
Also I don't wrote know the play A Voyage Round My Father. John Mortimer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts. Who wrote that? It's what you learn after you know it all that counts.
Well, it had to be someone who knew it all.
Yeah.
This was a baseball. It must be Asimov.
This is not Asimov. This is a baseball manager.
Casey Stengel.
Casey Stengel.
Nope.
Leo DeRocher.
No. East Coast, though.
Billy Martin.
Not Billy.
Early
Martin.
1900s?
Oh, no. Very recent. He now does commentary on playoff games and things like that.
Earl Weaver.
Earl Weaver. Yes.
Baltimore.
Okay. Who wrote Anchorwoman?
Balmore, as they would say out there.
Anchorwoman.
Anchor?
Barbara Walters? No.
Anchorwoman. Is it an anchor?
She was
anchor
until
person?
Her death.
Savage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always leave them laughing. Ooh.
It's a good line.
It certainly is.
Yeah,
Groucho.
No. It's Milton Berle.
That's it.
Milton Berle. Okay. We'll have to resume next week. In the meantime, I'd like to thank the panel for being with us today, Professor Pickering, Professor O'Neill, Professor Peace, Professor Nichols, and Professor Klemanski, and now this word.
Author and screenwriter.
State Supreme Court Justice.
Check out the resumes of some pretty big wheels.
Chairman and CEO.
Police Chief.
And you'll find they have one thing in common.
University of Detroit Mercy.
UDM.
UDM.
University of Detroit Mercy.
An alumni list as impressive and diverse as the school itself, University of Detroit Mercy continues a tradition of excellence in education. To learn more about UDM's academic and financial aid programs, call 1-800-635-5020 or visit online at www.udmercy.edu. University of Detroit Mercy.
Ask the Professor is transcribed through the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Paul Murray, assisted by Roger Hino. Our technical director is Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeWitt.
And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you to join us again next week for another classic edition of Ask the Professor.